Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We've got much to discuss. I get the spring game is in 46 hours, but our next guest is wired into Oregon athletics as editor-in-chief, GoDucks.com. On Twitter, it's GoDucks Mosley. Rob Mosley joins us. Rob, always appreciate the time. How's it going?
The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. Baseball, softball are playing tonight. Football practice this morning. It's a beautiful life.
Yeah, it feels like they owed us this, but I've noticed you've been piling up the miles. You were with the baseball team this weekend.
Yep.
We had another event in the midst of Oregon versus Washington State, and obviously the guys on the baseball team are high-level athletes. I'm kind of curious, any buzz or any level of conversation or interest regarding that Tiger guy winning the Masters?
Oh, yeah, no, they were locked into it, yeah. That coaching staff is big-time golf fans, so, yeah, they were watching to and from the field Saturday. They were watching before Sunday's game in Pullman, for sure. They were. It was weird, though, for me, you know, because I'm just locked in with the baseball team. I'm on Twitter, and people are like, this is the greatest moment in sports of the last 40 years, and I'm going, shoot. I missed it. I might have missed something good. So, yeah, I haven't, between men's basketball, women's basketball, and baseball, I haven't had a lot of couch time the last 6 weeks or so over the weekend. So apparently I missed something big this past weekend.
Yeah, it got a mention or two. So actually, you know, this edition of Oregon baseball, it seems, Rob, for years, the pitching was solid. Everybody clamored for offense. Now they're bashing the ball all over the place. And in your article, you brought up a legit point in that, you know, Coach Horton feels that he geared the offense to the talent. And it might be as simple as, well, these guys don't have to go station to station because they can mash.
Yeah. No, I think the way you look at it, we all think of the game of baseball, I think, through the prism of the major leagues. And in the major leagues, everybody now, even, you know, middle infielders, which, you know, 20 years ago was just a glove guy, they're all hitting 20, 25 bombs. And so you just get used to that. That's the game now. Just let everybody swing away. Eventually you'll hit a few homers and you'll win. You know, at the college level, that, you know, that's just not the case. You know, you have a couple guys that can put it out of the park. But the depth of power hitting isn't the same. So you still have to manufacture runs in college more than the pros do right now, but maybe not to the extreme extent. One thing I was surprised to see is since 2013, when the Ducks had almost 100 sacrifice hits, bunts, et cetera, that number's dropped every single year. This year will end up being higher than last year, but right now this year's lower than last year. So it's dropped every single year. So kind of this narrative that Oregon only plays small ball has been going away a little bit, but really it's extreme this year. I mean, they're scoring 6 runs a game. They scored at least 7 in their last 6 in a row. And it's just, it used to be with this team that, you know, you'd get down to the 6, 7, 8, 9 guys and feel like, well, the lineup's going to need to turn over before there's another chance to put some runs on the board, but that's just not the case right now. So it is pretty fun. Now, they need to hit the ball because the pitching's not at the level it has been because of a whole slew of injuries. But it is pretty fun to watch these guys swing the bats right now.
Yeah, and a big series tonight starting with Pac-12 leading Stanford. But I've got another baseball question unrelated to the Ducks. So while you were with the women at the Final Four, and I know you're on that mission to visit all MLB parks, you saw Giants at Rays, Tropicana Field in St. Pete's. And I'm going to be a little presumptuous here, having visited that place 12 years ago. Do we even consider this a major league ballpark?
It was. Now, I was very appreciative of the friend of a friend who was a Rays employee who helped with access to tickets. So I'm going to be political here because I am very appreciative and I don't want to bite the hand that feeds. It was a unique ballpark experience. Let's say that.
Nice.
Having grown up going to the Oakland Coliseum, I'm used to not having all the accoutrements that you have at some of the newer stadiums. So I got by okay, but it was different. I think that's the only like true permanent dome I've seen a game in. So I never went to like the Astrodome or.
The Kingdome?
I never went to the Kingdome. Yeah, I wasn't in the Northwest yet then. So Yeah, it was. It's different. It's real weird.
You missed nothing at the Kingdom. All right.
But the concrete.
Yep. On to Oregon football as we continue with Rob Mosley at GoDucks.com. I know we've seen some serious physical specimens come here as true freshmen, Jonathan Stewart, Haloti Ngata, and traditionally we didn't hear much from them because, I guess, limited media access. But this young fella, Mr. Thibodeau, and I get his final exam comes in real games. How impressive is he, not only in practice, but just the way this young guy carries himself?
Yeah, the way he represents himself, the way he represents the program, you know, for somebody who, you know, is acutely aware of how we're perceived in the media, that's, you know, that you couldn't craft a better start for a freshman. And, you know, how involved he's been on campus, going to games, has been impressive. And he, you know, on the field, he's so explosive. I mean, his natural gift in terms of explosiveness getting off the line are really something to watch. His football IQ, you know, people are raving about. You know, he knows he's got to get a little bit stronger. But, you know, to think that you could lose some guys like Justin Hollins and Jalen Jelks and feel like there might be some guys to plug in and not, you know, skip too much of a beat is really impressive. But I got to say, the last couple weeks, Micah Pittman is another freshman who really, really, really looks good. He and Tyler Shuck on the number two offense have developed some serious chemistry. He catches a lot of balls. He's hyper competitive. He's not afraid to mix it up a little bit. He gets in there on special teams. So, you know, I think we all got really excited about this recruiting class when it signed, and now they're starting to show some signs that was very much merited.
I think I'm looking behind me. It's like you peeked at my notes. I want to get to the backup quarterback. And again, you just said Tyler Shuck. And, you know, yeah. I get throwing darts with a don't touch me jerseys in the fourth quarter against USC. So you watch him practice. You gauge how he handles speed himself, the offense. So second season in the system, what are you seeing that would be a reason to be optimistic if he had to come in and real game for Herbert?
I mean, he's making more plays for sure. He's definitely bigger and stronger. I mean, he also had a good sized frame, but it wasn't totally filled out. It is now more, you know, a ball last year that might have wobbled out of his hand a little bit, it's got a lot more zip on it. So you just see the physical stature has improved. But he was always a mature kid, a heady kid, and I think he's clearly put that to good use. Just listening to him talk in interviews. Kind of to overgeneralize, I think, you know, this time a year ago, he was just, when he stepped the line, he was just wanting to make sure that all 11 guys on his side of the ball were lined up in the right spot and he knew what they were going to do. Well, now he can sort of take that for granted a little bit. I mean, he spent the whole year really digesting the playbook, and now he feels like when he comes to line, he knows what his guys are going to do. He can devote all his intent, his thoughts to what the defense is showing, what they're going to do, and then how to best attack that. Play the offenses in. So just kind of a paradigm shift there that a quarterback needs to experience in order to be a guy who can be an impact player. So I think he would be immensely more capable of quarterbacking this offense in a game come fall than he would have been a year ago.
As for Justin, you know, he's a rarity. I mean, we've seen him arrive from Sheldon, played immediately as a freshman, now entering a fourth year. I think we've only seen Danny O'Neill do that. So from that moment he took the reins against Washington to 2016, you know, to now, what struck you about how he's evolved as a quarterback and a leader of this team?
Well, I think the most striking thing about him is he's still here. I mean, he's a guy who could be preparing for the NFL draft right now and be in the mix for that conversation about who's the best quarterback available. I mean, his physical tools are just second to none, and it is really impressive. And so, yeah, just that's striking. I mean, and it strikes me at least, you know, here and there, most practices at least once or twice, you know, a ball come out of his hand and it's like, this guy is so good. It's amazing that he's still going against college kids, because just in terms of physical tools, I mean, he's definitely equipped to be, you know, preparing to play in the NFL right now. So that's, you know, that's beyond anything else. That's what strikes me the most.
A couple final thoughts for Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com. I think it's fair to say at receiver last year we had the spectacular in Dylan Mitchell and the inconsistent. We've seen flashes from some guys, and like you mentioned with Pittman, a lot of good talk about the incoming crew. So for fans are attending or watching tomorrow, who are some of the faces they should look for that might actually end up being critical targets for Justin this year?
Yeah, well, Mike Pittman wears number 4, so he'll, you know, he right now, you know, kind of a backup slot guy behind Jalen Redd, who, you know, is about as established as it gets among all the returners. So it'll be interesting to watch, I think, come fall, how much either one or both of those guys gets used outside to see about getting them both on the field at the same time. But Juwan Johnson, the graduate transfer from Penn State, has looked really, really good the last couple weeks. You know, he's a guy who, you know, reading up on him, there were some stories and talk from out that way that maybe he was a guy whose hands were a little inconsistent, but he has been nailed since he got here. I mean, he's this big, strong kid, and his hands are so strong, and he's caught pretty much everything. So that's been very reassuring. And the chemistry with Herbert is there almost immediately. I mean, that's a guy. Today's 7-on-7 period was all third down plays, and that's clearly a guy Herbert has grown already to look for and say, hey, that's a guy who, if I'm under pressure, I can throw it to him, and we'll move the chain. So that's been a really quick dynamic to develop, and so we'll see Saturday again, when, you know, 25,000-30,000 people, is that same dynamic apparent?
And lastly, once again, I feel like from Pelham to Hoke to 2 years of Levitt, we got a new defensive coordinator. So come on down, Andy Avalos. And for the third time, I caution, the proof comes in autumn, not April. But so what are you getting from the new guy or the players about, I don't know, schematically or stylistically, what are you observing about the defense?
Well, just, you know, for one thing, just personality-wise, he's different. One of the players was doing an interview yesterday and said he was just struck by Avalos' just relentless positivity. Jim Levitt was kind of a roiling cauldron of emotions that would boil over now and then. Avalos is the opposite. I mean, he's you don't really notice him that much. I mean, he's a little more soft-spoken. He's coaching guys up, but, you know, he's not a yeller like a lot of defensive coordinators. I mean, Nick Aliotta, who we knew around here,
right.
I mean, you never didn't know where Nick Aliotta was on the field during practice until he lost his voice, which he inevitably did because he was hollering so much. But Andy Avalos is a much different demeanor on the practice field. And again, you know, just the relentless positivity in terms of enforcing and teaching what he wants has really struck guys. The way guys have talked, I think they plan to be a lot more multiple defensively, show a lot more different looks, move around a little bit more than they have in the past. Another player was doing an interview the other day, said, yeah, you know, in the last couple of years, they kind of tried to play things a little more straight up. In 2019, they're going to try to, again, move around, present different looks a little bit more. I don't think we're going to see any of that Saturday. I don't know how much of that this defense is really ready to do after only a handful of practices under Avalos. But you also don't want to show a whole lot either on a game that's televised. So I think the proof will be in the pudding there, really, more come fall.
All right, folks, he's Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com, on Twitter, at GoDucks.com. Boy, oh boy, I'm having a rough day at GoDucks Mosley. The spring game, 2 o'clock on Saturday. Rob, I always appreciate your time and insight, and look forward to chatting in person on Saturday. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Sounds like a plan. Can't wait. See you then.
All right, take it easy.